those are the greatest thing.
Okay, just another question, right? I guess you could use the question. I just want to look at the bracha of bracha on Kedushin, because, you know, it's not a standard bracha. You don't just say Hashem Yisrael Smitzvah in all Kedushin, you know, like you commanded us to do this mitzvah, but it's pretty lengthy. And perhaps it could be telling about the nature of Kedushin. I mean, that's the mitzvah of Kedushin. It's getting married. So the bracha itself, being that it's lengthy, and it's, let's see, it's kind of talkative, maybe it could help to direct us towards some ideas. So it says, starts with every bracha. Bracha Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaMashiach Yisrael Mitzvos V'Tzivanu. He commanded us in his mitzvos. V'Tzivanu Al Arayos. And he commanded us in Arayos. Arayos are the forbidden sexual provisions. Which is funny. Why does that do this? He commanded us not to have sex with certain people. Okay, relatives, let's say, or men, you know. But also one of us arusos, and he prohibited us from sleeping with someone who is arus, who is married, his first step of marriage. The hiter lanu es anesuos lanu ayidechuba v'kedushin, and he permitted with those who are married to us through doing chuba and kedushin. Chuba is the canopy, which will get chuba and kedushin. Okay, baruch atah Hashem. Blessed are you, Mekadesh Amo Yisrael al Yidei Chuba V'Kedushin, who sanctified the nation of Israel through Chuba and Kedushin. Okay? Very interesting. Okay? So he's saying, so it stands out, I mean, I guess, the other part, also on Sarus, also al Yidei Chuba V'Kedushin, that's kind of describing what Kedushin is. But first of all, there's interesting throws in Arayos, which is the idea of prohibitions, those are the prohibitions. And then it says pretty strong. He used Mekadesh, he sanctified the Jewish nation through Chuppah and Kedushin. And through this, apparently these mitzvahs have an important role in the whole Kedusha of Kal Yisrael. Right?
So it's like Rabbi Zucker was saying, right?
Okay, yeah, so the Neil is mentioning, I guess Rabbi Zucker pointed this out, that the Rambam says, where he's talking about the book of Kedusha, okay, the book of Kedusha in the Rambam includes in it the Machal Sirot, laws of forbidden foods and forbidden sexual, sexual prohibitions, Misuri Bia and Shchita, which is kind of assumed to be subsumed under Machal Sirot, so for eating. So he explains the book. He says, "Quote: why does he call it Kedusha?" He says, "Because through these two areas, the sexual and the eating restrictions, Kedushan Makom Yizalim Enomas, God has sanctified us and set us apart from the nations." So when it's Kedusha, the Kedusha of Israel, the Jewish people, comes through the fact of through the sexual restrictions and the restrictions of the predator. Okay, so that's true. That's like through Arayos, but what is that?
So even with
the... That's I understand that by Arayos, by prohibitions. But the idea is that through the fact that we keep these prohibitions, so that's Vitzivanu al Harayos, that we don't sleep with other people. And I would say is, but there's an additional thing, is even the people who are permitted to us, we also don't quite just jump right into it. But we get married through a certain type of a process. Right? A certain type of a process. You could argue similar to, not sure it's exactly the same, but just an analogy, like meat. Like, you need to eat kosher meats. You have that, you don't eat pig, but you eat cow. But even when you have kosher cow, you can only eat it if you do shlita. It's prepared in a certain method. So it's kosher, but still it has to be prepared in a certain way. Okay, and it's not prepared another way, it's not kosher. Similarly is that, not just that we don't sleep with certain women, but even the women who we do sleep with, we don't just meet her in the street and take her home and have sex with her. But we first do something. I mean, that's what we have to figure out. But we first do this process. We involve ourselves in this halachic process called Kedushin. That sets the stage for Nisuin. But then we get married, so to speak. But first we... Right, that's part of the Kedusha. Is through the Kedusha Yisrael is... I guess in a positive way. I guess Kedusha comes from the Arayos, and the fact that we're removed from the prohibitions, but in a positive way, through when we engage in a sexual relationship, it's preceded with Chuppah and Kedusha. Okay? Okay, and Kiddushin we're talking about here, Chuppah, because of saying that the next step after we get done with this whole sequence leads us to get into what's Chuppah. Because you see there's two things, Chuppah and Kiddushin. Apparently they're, you know, they're interrelated. This is the bracha on Kiddushin, yet we're mentioning Chuppah. So you see apparently they're very related. By the way, in the Rambam here in Ishos, where he talks about after, you know, these, we read the first two halachas, then he talks about, you know, how to just sleep with someone without getting married. And then, he basically, after that, that's the Zerzona, then he talks about Arayos. Kol Shasub Yasub Betor, V'chayl Yasub Kar, Zehem Vorz Parshat Achrayimos, Kehen Nikron Arayos, V'chol Achaz Min Nikron Erba. And he basically lists all the Arayos in the same first parak. Okay, which is, this book is Hilchos Ishos, the laws of getting married. Okay? This is Noshin. This isn't Isur Bia, but you see, it's not the prohibitions, but you see is that in the discussion of Isha, so we are married, you discuss the rites. Because apparently they're very tied in. Like, it's interesting. I mean, that itself is kind of opening up the door, but it still has to be explained, because still, this is Isha, so it's not talking about it. This isn't the place for the Isura and for the prohibitions, it would seem. But you do see they're very related. That the ishos is the method in which we are involved in sexuality is with kodem matan Torah was one way. Now we do it a different way, and the fact that we do it this way is what gives us the kedusha. Kedusha is talking about that, and we see it in the bracha. It's certain shabbat. The shabbat can't just say God gave us this mitzvah, but this mitzvah is a unique place insofar as our whole identity and our whole kliyos. You have to mention that in the show. So, by the way, that's it just says maybe it's not so. He asked the question is that the Ram says in the intro, he says, at least in the Kasera, at least the Isha Biksuba Bikidusha. He says that the mitzvah is when you want to marry a woman, you do it first through Ksuba and Kiddushin. So, Ksuba is where you give her a certain amount of, you give her a signed document that you're sure that if you divorce her, you pay her a certain amount of money. Okay, so this is why you're not going to just be so quick to divorce her, just to slip with her and then to throw her out, but you'll have a certain, you know, you're not going to just relate to her, you're not going to have like a one-night marriage, you know, or you're going to treat her as a person, you're going to try to make it work, there's a certain, it's going to prevent people from just throwing out their wives after they get bored of them. So that's why, and when you get married, the Rabbana introduced that you have to have a ksuba, okay, besides for kedusha. But that's been the Rabbana. So the Ram in the mitzvah Asai mentions Ksuba, which seemingly is the Rabbanon. So what's he doing in the Kasaras? But if you say the whole idea of the Mitzvah Asay is, as Kedushas Yisrael, is that our marriage is not just like a sexual thing, but it's imbued with all halachic significance, which we'll talk about what it is. So you could see how Ksuba, when the Rabbanon introduced Ksuba, it wasn't just like a new halacha floating in nowhere. But it's an expansion of the idea of the Kedusha. Because the Kedusha is that they said in the marriage itself, there's like a safeguard against using marriage as just a tool of sexuality. Just as a quick, quick thing. If a person wants to just have a so they wants to have sex, so you can just do it through getting married. But then it's Ksuba helps out the Kedusha of Kedusha. So if you don't in the concert, even though it's from the Rabbanon, but it's a kiyum in the Deraisa. I mean, it's a component of the enhancement of the deraisa. Okay, but we still haven't discussed what condition is exactly, right? We still haven't discussed how exactly it works. I'm just kind of like painting a picture from the outside. what exactly the process is, and how kinyan, and what's right. Yeah.
Isn't
I ask you a question. You see, one of the ways to get married is via. So that seems to be kind of counterproductive. So it seems the whole idea is the condition seems to be going away from that. That's one of the ways of getting married. That's a good question. But I do say the Rabbana did prohibit you. Perhaps because a person is going to relate to it improperly. So it must be there. It must be. I mean, we'll get to it. But it must be there. There is a true idea and a good reason why via is a method. But there came a time where people were, so to speak, getting, misusing it and relating to it and going back to the old way of before Matan Torah. And then the Rabbana said you can't do it. But I mean, we have to know why it is the method. That's a good question, which we'll get to. Okay, it's a good question. So it must be then, if this is true, okay, this is kind of from without, but the idea, so before Matan Torah, must be that marriage was just, so to speak, like this following the natural instinctual course which a person would follow who wants to get married. And the Torah is preventing that and interjecting a halachic process which must have some idea attached to it. It's not just I'm saying do this random thing beforehand. Also, you know, it has to be some idea. But it must be that they're describing the way it was beforehand. And again, you'd think that this is without getting to see the particulars, but that's what you would think it should be, is that beforehand was just in marriage as an instinctual phenomenon. There's just man gets married. Right? It's not a religious phenomenon. It's just a social, instinctual, and they're both true. Right? It is, I don't use the word instinctual, it actually has more, you know. But it's an instinctual institution that man involved himself in. And what I'm describing is that prior to Mount Tabor, that's what it was. And I think that's what Daniel's saying is good. Is that basically you meet a woman on the street. See, that's what I think he's describing for you, like the romantic situation, like the way it unfolds. You know, because that's what it was back then. Like nowadays, meeting her has nothing to do with the thing. It's, it begins and ends with Kiddush. You know? But he's describing the way it was. He's trying to show you. Prior to this, it was totally just following the natural course of the instinctual development. You know, so you meet her on the street. In Ratzuhuhi, you both agree because that's part of the thing. The romantic, of course, you both agree. You know, you fall in love mutually. You both want to. The Ratzuhuhi, so you get married. So Machnisal Tov Beso Ba'olamin Alvinatma. So you bring her to your house and you have bia. So let's bring her into your house. Why are you bringing your house in Abia? Well, apparently there are two elements then. Right? Two elements then. Having Bia with her apparently isn't a, you didn't just do that. Apparently in the institution of getting married, you wouldn't just have sex. It's not, doesn't do it.
You're living with her.
Right? I mean, you could have sex with a prostitute. Doesn't mean you're married to her. Okay? So even if you'd have a steady steady prostitute, for instance, it's still not your wife, right? It's still not your wife. So it's not just a matter of sex. Apparently, marriage is a twofold thing. There's a sexual component to it, but there's also a social maybe component to it or a familial component to it. You're living together, right? That's what it is. There's two components to the thing. Okay, so it was. Right, there's two components to marriage. Marriage is a sexual, definitely is a sexual thing. You know, just living together, there's no sexual relation. That's not marriage. That's just roommates. Right, and then, but it's just sexual relationship without living together, socially moving in together. That's not marriage. That's just sexual sexual relationship. So marriage, it was two things. There's two components. That's what it was. So you move, bring her into your house. You move in, and you'd be, and then you'd be married. Okay, and the process of getting married, I think even though the Rambam is describing a process, it's not really a process. The process is just activating that relationship. Like it's not, there is a reality of being married. And the reality of being married means that she's entered your house and you're living together. Like I don't think there's like a process per se. The process is the initiation of that relationship. Okay, so there's no, the reality of, I guess, whenever the relationship begins. The relationship begins when you bring her to your house and you have a beer with her. That's, and then you're married. Okay? So that's the way it was. It was just following the natural course. Man by his nature, has this institution called marriage. Before Mountain Torah, the world has it. It's under the religion, marriage is marriage. But it just follows the natural course, which then thinks to, you meet, fall in love, you both want to get married, you both want this to be something more than just a meeting. You bring it to your house, you have a bia, and now you're married, and that's it. And I guess, presumably, when you're done, you just send her away, and that's it. And she just leaves. Right? I mean, it is nothing more than the situation of marriage. Okay, that's all of us. So let me ask you a question. So at this stage of the game, before Mount Torah, let's say someone else came along and slept with her. Okay? So what would they be violating? What would they be doing wrong? I guess in theory, I mean, you do see they did have, he brought her into his house. I mean, even he did have, there was an idea, even though it's a mutual thing, I mean, there is an idea of, like, he's taking himself a wife. You know, the man is the active party in that. He's, it would be like you can imagine. Like I would say, hey, you slept with my wife. as you're breaking his. He's breaking their marriage. And as they're married, he's taking her into his house. He's basically taking control over her, at least insofar as sexual sphere, and she's living with him. Now you're breaking that. You're violating their relationship. They have a relationship, and you're undermining their relationship. If he's, it would be, so to speak, like a crime against him. Like, he took her in to his house, and he's, you know, he's married to her. He's setting up a relationship, and you're breaking that relationship. The relationship is supposed to be an exclusive one. Right? I mean, emotionally, that's what the guy wants. That's like the other thing. And right, that's kind of the idea. There's an exclusivity involved in the emotional end of the thing. Is, you know, as long as she's living somewhere else, she can go around and sleep wherever she wants. If you bring her into your house, it means she's yours. So now you're designating her for you, and she's under your house. She's your wife. And now if someone else would sleep with her, they'd be breaking his... You know, his husbandness, okay, or the nature of the relationship. Okay, what I'm getting at, and we'll get back to this that one. Okay, so now the question is, so what did the Torah do? So the problem with this is nothing intrinsically problematic with it. It's just purely just acting, just following the natural course of the person's instinct. Okay, and a person who's doing this is just carrying out his instinct, but that's Kedusha, is that we don't just follow out our instinct, but we don't totally subordinate ourselves to the instinct, but we subordinate the instinct to a mind, and we somehow are involved, even though we're doing the instinct, we first involve ourselves in some idea or something, we bring to mind some concepts about the thing. But what is that? So what are we doing? What's the process that Torah is introducing? Okay, good. So maybe just elaborate a little bit on Ariel's thing. Beforehand, it seems to be, as I think this is what Gary was pointing out before, that it seems to be the essence of Kedusha. You say, what happens in Kedusha? The process of Kenyan is very commensurate with purchasing something, although it's a little different. But what happens is you create in Kedusha, you are designating her for you. You're binding her to you, and you are prohibiting her from everybody else. Okay? And that's the two names. Erisin is binding, and Kedushin is like, Kedusha is like, is separated from everybody else. Okay? And that's kind of what you do when you buy something. Right? You buy a car, you say it's my car, and it's prohibited from everybody else. So in the process of marriage, you basically create exclusivity, right? And that's the idea of an owner. It's an exclusive relationship to this woman. Okay, and it could be, what it's saying is that, see in Kodesh Matan Torah, there was an idea of exclusivity. Okay, there is an idea of exclusivity, but that's totally like an instinctual thing. The value of the exclusivity is totally on an instinctual level. People in a romantic situation are looking for exclusivity. Right? But like, let's say for instance, the guy would say, you know, would invite somebody in to sleep with his wife before on the door, you know, to give his wife over to somebody else for a night. So there'd be nothing wrong, because I mean, look, it's their emotional situation. If that's what he's interested in, then. They've created, it's purely like a social institution that we agreed to set a certain type of a commitment, and he's willing, willing to let her go, everyone's willing, that's fine. So the value of the exclusivity, I mean, no guy would ever do that because, at least I don't think, but the idea is because the romantic, the emotions the instincts aren't looking for that type of thing. The instincts want to control the woman and want exclusivity. But the value of the exclusivity is purely on a personal level. An instinctual level, but the Torah holds that there's an objective value to exclusivity, to the idea of a woman not sleeping around with anybody, but the idea of having bia in a restrained type of a manner, in a situation of marriage to a particular person. You can elaborate philosophically why it is, but the idea of having the sexuality taking place in the context of an exclusive relationship between two people is a value in its own right. That's part of Kedusha. heterosexuality is not just rampant all over with anyone you want, but it's only in a certain setting. And that setting is not only a setting, but it's a setting of exclusivity, where there's a relationship between a man and wife. The woman's married to her husband. It's true exclusivity is only one way here, but I don't want to get into that issue. Why is
that?
Exclusivity is only one way. The man couldn't have other wives. But let's leave that out why that is.
Okay, doesn't Rahman talk about that more about him?
It's also, there are different reasons. One reason also is for kids. If you start sleeping, one's going to sleep with a lot of people, you're not going to lose kids or hoes, and it's going to lead to problems in terms of building society. There are also sisters, people start killing each other, parents lose each other's lives.
The side says, if you want to have like a family.
It's a family, building a family. That's kind of what I'm saying with the kids. But that's important. In terms of building society, that's important. But there are different reasons. That's why rather to keep it vague, but his idea is that exclusivity, the idea of marriage and exclusivity is not just total, not just a romantic value, but there's an objective value to that, to the marriage relationship. Okay, the process of Kedushin is taking that idea of marriage and objectifying it. It's setting up an objective expression which creates the exclusive relationship of marriage. The two components of it, the designation for him and the removal from everybody else. Okay, and what it wants to do is to take it from just being the natural course of meeting a woman in the street, that whole thing, and it's taking that which has an instinctual value, and it's rendering it, stamping it with an objective value, and setting up a designation in the woman. And that's why it says she is an Eishes Esh. She has a designation. And that's why I think, by the way, it says, so the other question, it says, a woman who undergoes this process is called, that's the idea why it has a name. The idea of having a name is because prior, then this is what Ariel was saying, prior to Matan Torah, it wasn't really like a process. Marriage wasn't a process. It's more like a situation. You're living together, and you're living together as man and wife. So, yeah, practically, you have to start it at some point. But the reality is totally in the situation itself. But now, the Torah set up a process which expresses the content, the ideational content of the marriage. Is basically, there's an exclusive relationship, and this process is that which creates that designation. And that's giving it a name. They're almost telling you the name. A name reflects it. It's actually a process. Okay, and there's a process of Kedushin, of Erison. And again, the two names are the two components of it. But the idea of having a name altogether. See, back then, we didn't have a name. No one didn't say what the name was. There was no name. It wasn't really a process back then. But Allah says that before you live together, engage in a process which reflects the concept about the nature of your living together. It reflects the objective value of setting up a designation and removing her from everybody else towards you. And that's why she has a designation. You're actually creating a designation in her. And that's what it says, the woman who undergoes this process is called, she actually has a halachic designation of being set aside to you. And if a person sleeps with her, they're not just violating, it's not just a crime against the husband, it's an objective crime, because there's an objective value to exclusivity. And therefore you're breaking that objective value when you sleep with her. You bring her designation is, she's taken. And you sleep with a taken woman, you're not just violating her husband, you're violating the objective reality that it's important to have exclusive marriages. So that's why I say she actually has an identity right at the condition, even though you're not living together yet. In terms of the romantic situation, you're not really living together yet. What do you do? You just give her money. We do it all in one shot, but you give her money, you give her a ring, and then a year later, you're not living together yet. So on the contrary, the romantic situation hasn't even really started. So you just set up the exclusivity before the romance. Romance didn't kick in yet, you're not even living together, but you're just totally designating her, and the romance and all the emotions are built upon this objective expression of the exclusive designation. And it says, that if you want to get married first, that's what it says, is Yaknos said Tchilah, afterwards. You could engage in that instinct. There's nothing wrong with that instinctual romantic situation. There's nothing wrong with that. But first, build it upon an objective idea, a process which brings to mind the objective value, the concept of marriage. And then the romantic will be under the objective value of that type of relationship, the ideas. Well, the whole romantic will be tied in with the ideas of exclusivity and controlling your taivas, and built into the whole marriage will be a different type of a marriage, because it's before. Don't just, you're not just, it doesn't come about just by the natural pursuit of your instinct, but you take a step back, reflect on the concepts of the thing, involve yourself in the process, and then the instincts come under the designation set out by your mind. So it's a whole different type of marriage. Now, Edom, it could be that's the idea of Edom. So who said that? Money said that. I said that. The Edom, that's the idea of Edom. Edom is taking the thing which was previously just a private. See, back then it was private, because it was private. There are, your instincts don't want to share your marriage with someone. I mean, it's a personal, romantic type of a getaway, and you're not interested in having another someone else witnessing you getting married. The idea of Edom, at least back in the old days, you bring her into your house and you have a beer with her, and that's it. But the idea of having Edom means it's an objective. That's what it is. It's making it like an objective witness. It's witness. It means it's an objective expression. Not just the following the romantic instinct, but it's you're making a demonstration which has to be witnessed by people. And witness the share of being, or the amount of being witnesses to people is it. I mean, but otherwise, if there's no witnesses, it's just then they're following the instinct, sticking out to your house. And but here you're trying to set up an objective expression of this thing. Objective means to make it witness. That gives it a character of being objectified. It's not just taking place in your own personal world, but it's now been witnessed. It's public knowledge. Okay, once two people saw it, now it's public knowledge. It's on the box. You know? So I'm saying, Torah, she didn't really have an identity as an Eshes Hashem. You wouldn't call her Mekudeshes, or call her Mekudeshes. It would mean, Eshes would mean it's that she has a husband. As it means that she, her husband is, so to speak, expressing his dominion over her and preventing you from sleeping with her.
That's what Rama means when he says, Bahaisan Lalisha.
Yeah, it's a Lalisha, right. She'd be his, right. She'd be for him, it would be to him. Right? It would be his wife. And if you'd sleep with her, it would be a crime against him. That's what I mean. She wouldn't, there's no objective designation. It's just an idea that he's exerting control over her. It's like a car. If a car is my car, it's not an owned car. There's no difference between an owned car and an unowned car. A car is a car. And I externally exert my control, my ownership over it. But a woman is not just an owned woman. She's a different woman. She's single or she's married. There's a reality to marriage. She's a married woman. And if you sleep with a married woman, she's an HSS. She's a certain kind of a woman. And you're violating that type of woman. Nothing to do with what the husband lacks or doesn't like. The husband can't lack. There's an objective reality to that type of woman. A woman who is designated to another man. And now to sleep with her would be breaking the concept of the exclusivity of the marriage.
So that's why, is that why
you exactly. should have Gary's said. Saying is correct. That's why if you want a divorce or now, you have to give her a gap. Can't just throw her out of the house. See, because if it was back in the day, it was a situation of marriage, throw her out, there's no situation of marriage, that's it, it's nothing. But since now there's a status, you've engendered the status of being an HSH, so you can't just throw her out of the house. She's the first one, not even in the house, but you have to do a new process to uproot that status. So the process is a get, that's the idea of a get. You give her whatever the process of get is. But as that also, you have to break the status. Right, exactly. And that's why right then you have to do a get, because you didn't lay that together yet, doesn't matter, but there's an objective status which has to be broken, and that's what I'm saying, is that first of all, you sleep with her, you're breaking her status, and if you want to get rid of her, it's good. Those are the two aspects. That first of all, in terms of someone else sleeping with her, breaks the Kedusha aspect, that she's also everyone else, and she's bound to him, so if he wants to get rid of her, he has to break that bind. Okay. The one question now is, what's the methods? What's the different methods of marriage? Kenyan. So now that you have the Kenyan. Oh no, so why is it Kenyan? Yeah, I got it. So that's just now. So you want to make an expression of, and the Torah wants to set up an objective expression of, she is designated to me away from everybody else, exclusivity. Now the question is, what's the Torah going to use to make that expression? How is the Torah going to, what form is the Torah going to, what action could you do to express the idea that I am designating her to me away from everybody else? Now, there's a parallel to that exact idea in the realm of the monetary, which is a Kenyan, which is a purchase. Now, you're not purchasing a woman. You can't own a woman. You can own maybe you can own a slave. You're not owning a woman, for instance. You can't tell her to do with it. She's not your slave. She's just for marriage. It's not. You can't just tell her to do anything. You can't put her on the slave. So the idea, though, is that the action which is appropriate to express this concept is borrowed from the world of Mamonas, the world of the monetary world, which has an action which does exactly that, sets up an exclusive designation on an object to you away from everybody else. And it was true that in Mamonas, in money, you actually own the object. There's a reality to ownership, and the designation to you and the prohibition on everybody else stems from the reality of the ownership. In marriage, you don't actually own her, but the effects of ownership are present. When you own a car, there's a reality that this is my car. Okay, and the effects of that I could use it and nobody else could use it. In marriage, there's no underlying reality. She's not my woman. Okay, but the effects of ownership, namely that I could use her, I could sleep with her, and nobody else could sleep with her, are present. So they're parallel. So the action, Torah didn't go along and just make up a brand new action, but it did it because of the parallel. It said I used Kenyan as the method which brings to mind the idea of, that brings to mind the concept of exclusivity and of prohibiting from everybody else and designating her to you. The Torah wanted to set up an action which would reflect the concept of what's going on here. So the action of Kenyan is the action which expresses that. Now, how do you do a Kenyan on an object, on any object? So in general, the method of doing Kenyan on an object is that you have to express your dominion on an object. So for instance, if it's an item, I pick it up. Well, there are different ways. One method is picking a thing up. Another way is purchasing, giving money. Another method is using a shtar, a document. So now, that's the basis of a woman, the same thing. And then one way is to use the woman. How do you use the woman?
I think like they're replying about Eved.
Yeah, by Eved, right. By Eved, that's right. By what kind of Eved he has. You can either pick up
Kibush.
The Eved,
yeah.
Or you could have the Eved pick you up, right? That's all up. You can pick up a slave, or you can have the slave pick you up. Because if you pick him up, you're expressing dominion, you pick him up. But if you tell him to pick you up, you're also expressing dominion, because you're using the slave. That's how you use the slave. So as that is the usage of that Kenyan. Kenyan is an expression of the your dominion. So by a woman, the way you use her is through having Bia. That's the nature of the Kenyan. Your ownership is vis-a-vis exclusivity, vis-a-vis Bia. So that's how you, so to speak, use a woman. So you have Bia with her, or you purchase her, which is the way you get in, and generally you express the concept of creating this designation, which is money, or using a shtar, which is a document. So the reason why the sex is used is because since it's a Kenyan, it models the concept of how Kenyan takes place in every area. Whenever it comes to anything you want to express dominion over, you say, what is the method of using this thing? And that's the method of Kenyan. So now when it comes to a woman, that's what she's designated for. She's in it for you in this framework. So having a sex with her is the expression that she's designated to you for this purpose. Now, and that's the idea, that you're expressing, it's an objective expression of her designation to you and removal from everybody else. Now, there's nothing, that's in line, that before you bring her into your house, you have to make an objective expression of that idea. And you do that, through Bia. Now, if a person is going to relate to that as just an excuse to be able to have sex with her, then he's missing the point. And therefore, the Rabban prohibited it, because people apparently weren't at the level. But intrinsically, that it's done in a manner where you say, Hare Avi, the rest of you are expressing. Through this thing, I'm creating designation to you, and then the Bia is, to not have Bia as one of the methods would be lacking in terms of the concept of Kenyan, because that's the way Kenyan always works. And the Torah is trying to model the Kenyan, and that's what the term is used. Rabbi used this term, but it's a term. The Kenyan Shalesser. Kenyan means a purchase, but Kenyan shall Isser means it's like a purchase of prohibition. Okay, Isser. It's a Kenyan in the world of Isser Rabbah. It's not a Kenyan in the world. Kenyan only exists in the world of monetary world. Here it's a Kenyan, but the reality of the Kenyan exists in the world of prohibitions, of mutter and, never permitted brother. But what it means, same with the term of Kenyan shall Isser, I know what it meant. But the idea is it's the action of Kenyan, and it creates the effects of Kenyan. But it doesn't have the underlying reality of Kenyan. In the underlying reality of Kenyan, the effects of ownership, the effects of use of you using and no one else using are a result of the underlying reality that it is actually my car. The car is subordinate to me. But a woman, it doesn't work that way. It has the effects of ownership. In And therefore, the action is the action which creates those effects in the world of Malam. But here it's a Kain Shel Isser, because it means it's not really a purchase. It just it creates the effects vis-a-vis Isser V'Hatter, vis-a-vis prohibitions of Malam. Yeah, that's the mitzvah. At least the Yishuv Ksuvi Kedushin is that we have an decision of marriage. You can marry her, but only if you first involve yourself in these objective processes of Kedushin Ksuvi. And this institution, this process, is the mitzvah sasah. The mitzvah, this process, it's like similar to Shechita. That if you want to eat meat, this is the process which makes the meat permitted. If you want to marry a woman, this is the process which sets up the ability to marry her. Okay, and that's this institution itself is the mitzvah. The mitzvah could mean something, something you have to do. Sometimes it could just mean a halachic institution which the Torah creates. Like you see a mitzvah, there's a mitzvah of, bar, let's say, I think it's a mitzvah. The halachas of a pet, and if you take a pet. So things like that. So a mitzvah doesn't mean something you have to do, but it means not like a halachic institution could also be a mitzvah. So the mitzvah is the institution of Kedushin, which has the effect of allowing for marriage. Okay, so this is why I mentioned yesterday, I don't know if you heard, but the idea is that, it would be interesting to study now with this in mind. This is what I was thinking of yesterday. I mentioned it. It's like in the world, it seems like the Christian idea or whatever it came from, the marriage, does seem to have a similar type of an idea. That they don't just do the pre-Matan Torah method of getting married, but there is some sort of ceremony and vows, and like it almost sounds somewhat similar. Right? It sounds similar. So that's why I thought it would be interesting to make a study of, because what I was saying is, off the bat, you can be sure that it's not similar. It's very different, but it would be interesting to study how it's different and what the difference is. That would be interesting.
One difference.
One of the things, that's why there's a halacha, by the way, you can't marry someone who's one of the arayos, the relative, let's say. Someone certain types of prohibitions. What do I mean you can't? I mean you really can't. It doesn't work. There's no tefisis condition. It's not just that it's prohibited. You can't, even if you try to do it, it wouldn't grab hold, wouldn't set itself up. See, because the idea is that if it's just like a purchase, you purchase whatever you want, theory. But the idea is that since it's a designation, which is an expression of the Kedusha, of the Kedusha Yisrael, that you're designating her to you, and that's expressing the ideas of Kedusha, the exclusivity, which is the concept of Kedusha Yisrael, so Arayos is the opposite. It's the antithesis of Kedusha Yisrael, just the prohibitions. So therefore, it would be a contradiction to the very identity of Kedushin, which is the Mekadosh Anu Yisrael, which is the Kedusha, Kedushin expresses. So that would be it's antithetical to it, such that it can't even set itself up. You can't have all the designations to a woman. This designation to a woman that the Torah says is antithetical to that designation. Okay. So I guess...